Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friend, old Steve here.
And Lars.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it. Make sure you're up to date on all your Going In Raw content. We're also available at the Patreon and patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we have a wide variety of reward tiers that you can take a look at. And if you decide to contribute to the show financially, you get said rewards in return for goods and services.
Yes, we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. They have a massive sale starting tomorrow. That's July 6th.
Yeah. Did you watch Mark Briscoe's commercial for that?
No.
After the show during lunch, I'm going to show it to you. It's okay. Hilarious. Okay. It's fantastic.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyways, right now we have how many designs? 11? 12?
Yeah, I think we're at 11 right now.
Okay.
I was going to try my damnedest to get like five more up, like smash, you know, like smash designs. Just throw them up. I don't think it's going to work though. It's tomorrow. I still have like...
Well, there's a Larson Libre logo that's ready. I can just upload it.
Yeah, can you either do that or send it to me? Just make sure it's 300.
I can do it.
Make sure it's 300 DPI.
Yeah, I know. I know how to do it.
I was making sure. I don't know.
I put designs up there. I know what the deal.
I do that stuff. I'm just making sure.
What?
I do that stuff too. Oh, no. This is not getting off to a good start.
No.
All right. Feels good to be back, though. You know, we had kind of a longer, like we did New Japan.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot the day two recap today. Is that right?
Yeah, right after lunch.
Right after lunch. Okay, we're going
to
do that.
I'm going to try to, I'll get that up tonight. So this will go up in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then tonight, day two recap. And then Thursday is back to normal.
Like, okay.
NXT 205 Live recap. Right. Friday will be Dirt Sheet. Yeah. Saturday, count out. Sunday, Going In Raw View.
We are going to do, for those of you who really pay attention to our schedule here, we're going to do something. We're going to try. We like to try new things. We're going to try something different with Count Out this week.
Yes.
We're going to sort of be mixing predictions and Count Out. We're going to be sort of mashing them up. So it's going to be. Yeah. Thank you. And I love that word. It's going to, you know, it's like the least exciting word ever. And yet that was the word that DC and Marvel chose for their big crossover event.
I know.
20 years ago.
I know. I remember that.
The Amalgam Universe. What the hell were they thinking?
It's not a good idea.
Any other word in the English, like the donut universe, that'd have been great. And it made more sense than amalgam.
Well, I mean, amalgam made sense.
Yeah, it made sense. It's not very sexy.
It's just too literal.
Needs more sexy.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Count Out. So we're going to do, what is it? So what's your idea? It's going to be something like top 10.
10 things that will happen at Great Balls of Fire.
But does that mean we have, like, does that mean we're going to have, I'm just going to ask you on air. So does that mean our predictions, what about our predictions, wins and losses?
You know, we kind of don't really worry about that anymore.
Oh,
no,
wow.
There's no punishment for it. So what I thought is we could each have five entries.
We're going to leave on you chopping the shit out of my chest?
Seems as good a time as any.
I guess so. Because, it's only going to either escalate or not be as cool.
I know.
You know?
What I was thinking is we each have five of the 10 entries to say what's going to happen.
That's cool. Okay. All right.
We'll just do that way.
Sounds good.
So instead of just doing...
Hey, look.
We'll incorporate all our picks into each entry.
Yeah.
So we'll pick the matches still, but we'll just try to find a more interesting way about doing it.
We'll give it a shot.
Doesn't work. We won't do it again.
If it's ass, we'll go back to the way we did it before.
Yeah.
If it's awesome and we love it, we'll keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll listen to you guys in the comments.
Yes. Feedback.
Feedback. Exactly. So this is a super show. We're going to be talking about both Raw and SmackDown. Great Balls of Fire. The Raw exclusive pay-per-view is coming up this Sunday. Are we going to do a live stream for that?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So we're going to do that this Sunday. And so we're going to talk about the go home show for that. And then we're going to transition over to last night's SmackDown, which I thought was pretty enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that in a second. First, we're going to talk about
Raw. So-so show.
Raw cap. You know, it's so difficult for me even to have an opinion about if Raw was good or bad these days, because I think there was some good stuff.
Yeah.
I always say this. I'm like, there's some good stuff.
There's always interesting good stuff.
But it is. Look, here's my general impression of Raw as it stands right now is that I'm the least excited to watch Raw of anything else.
I will say this. After going to the shows this weekend in Long Beach, it was really hard to say I'm excited for WWE programming right now.
Yeah, it's such
a different presentation. It's such a different style of wrestling.
Yeah.
And being in the midst of it in Long Beach, watching New Japan's outstanding product, and then have to, you know, sit through 3 hours of Raw, it was a difficult transition.
Yeah.
By the time I watched SmackDown, it was okay.
Yeah, right.
But getting through Raw was a little tough.
SmackDown always feels like a breath of fresh air.
It does.
Raw I just get this general idea that it's going to be a slog. But even I mean, that being said, I watched, and you know, for the people out there who don't want me to take shortcuts, I watched all of Raw. I didn't even Hulu it. Now I got PlayStation View. That's my primary source of Raw. So I can skip through commercials. I hope that's not too much of a shortcut for people.
Well, I do that too. I don't watch any of the commercials.
Skipping through commercials and recaps. They can't expect me to watch recaps.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't even watch the introductions of the wrestlers. I'll fast forward through those.
Oh, yeah, I do that sometimes too.
I want to watch matches.
You know what I did this week? I fast forward through Finn Balor's introduction. I rarely do that. I've never done that before. But I was like, you know what? That's about 3 minutes of my life that I could be, you
especially
know,
when it's like 1 a.m. and we want to get this stuff watched.
Exactly. Anyways, it kicked off with a very long Enzo Amore promo.
But I thought it was pretty good.
I thought this was the best actual promo of his career, because it's the first time that he came out and sort of spoke from the heart, as opposed to did his just sort of improvisational comedy routine. So, I thought it was good. I thought, you know, obviously they have the confidence in Enzo to go out there and cut a promo. I did just think that it was about a minute and a half too long.
Well, it was good, like the first part of it was good.
Yeah,
he put the mic down, and then remember that he
forgot
to
say
something.
He dropped the mic on the word asshole.
Casshole.
He said asshole.
He said casshole.
But he put a very slight C at the beginning.
Yeah,
I was pretty surprised with that.
So he dropped the mic and was about to leave, but then he remembered he didn't say something that he meant to, so he picked it back up and continued, and it seemed unnecessary.
Yeah, I know, it seemed completely unnecessary. That was what was weird about it.
Ended
it
on a good punctuation.
Yeah,
leave it at that.
Yeah. Did you think that was planned?
I have no idea,
because I could see like them maybe wanting to try to do something that felt organic, you know, like, oh man, I've got so much passion right now, I want to keep on talking, and so I'm going to tell them to cut my music again.
No, because it worked so well how it ended the first time. It should have just ended there.
I know what you're saying. I just don't know if that was on purpose.
I didn't feel organic.
It didn't feel It did feel like he forgot to say something. Like you said, that really was non-consequential.
It really was.
Yeah. But anyways, and he did he even in that promo say, like, okay, so I know in Cass's promo he did afterwards, in his interview afterwards, but did Enzo say, we're going to face each other at Great Balls of Fire?
I don't remember.
It was just a lot. I feel like there was not... The point was sort of beaten to the ground, and it was a singular point that, you know, all these years I've been getting beat up, and Cass has never really had my back when you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And then they cut to an interview with Cass, and he said, he's going to get his butt kicked at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Enzo Amore just, like, came flying through the air.
I really hope the more or the longer that Cass is heel, he starts to change something about how he talks or his presentation.
Yeah.
Because right now it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I know.
He's no more menacing. Doesn't even seem meaner.
Yeah.
Still seems like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. He just wears a logo-less shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm with you on that one. You know, when you're a heel, we've said this before, you have the leeway. You have a bit more freedom to, you know, play up the villain thing.
Yes.
You know?
You have more chances to have more fun, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels like a more freeing character to play, and I feel like he really needs to take advantage of
Yes.
that. A lot of people who sort of flounder as faces do take advantage of the heel dynamic, and he needs to do that.
He's only, 2 weeks into it?
So. Oh, yeah. No, he'll get there. Let's see here. I don't know how to feel about this. Hmm. We had a tag match up next. Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Before Bayley even got into the match.
No, the match had started.
No, I know, but she hadn't gotten into the match.
Okay, yeah.
Nia Jax.
Elbowed her, or sorry, kneed her in the head.
Yeah.
On the outside of the ring.
And during commercial, she was led out of the, she was led back to the back.
Yeah.
Which led to Sasha Banks essentially having to wrestle a handicap match.
Yes.
Which she then won.
Yes.
So she's losing at Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, yes.
Is this some story with Bayley or Bayley simply being buried? You think it's that one? Interesting.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that keeping in mind what Cage Side Seats said last week, that Bayley is going to take a step back in terms of having a more prominent role on Raw. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, next week on Raw, she's not even on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, again, that number one, they made that, she sold the hell out of that knee shot mm-hmm. to the head. Mm-hmm. It actually looked kind of brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to be pessimistic about things, but it seems like they're just going to, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to say, hey, we're going to put the pause button on you real quick and just figure this out,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a better idea than just trying to shoehorn the whole, and I'll put it this way, it seems less likely, you know, Cannon Grant had a good point about this. Our good friend O'Cannon Grant had a great point about this. I didn't even think about. On Breaking Ground, she had a boyfriend.
Yeah, she has a boyfriend now.
Yeah, but publicly, on camera, on Breaking Ground, they showed her boyfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
And he says he doesn't recall, he said he didn't recall if they literally showed them kissing.
Yeah.
But you got to figure, like, that would definitely stab deep. I really don't want to talk about that storyline possibility too much, because we have zero verification. Although some people, we were not aware of the how good that site was mm-hmm. that we got it from. Mm-hmm. But a couple of our friendos in the comments said they're usually fairly reliable. So I don't know. I'm really hoping that doesn't turn into a thing. Bayley kissing a guy at SummerSlam as her first kiss as being, you know, accurate. I hope it isn't.
Yeah.
But this didn't seem to be leading to that. You know what I mean? So hopefully that stays that way.
Yes, I hope so.
Sasha looks super strong in this match.
Yeah.
One with the bank statement. It's the go-home show. She's standing tall, very tall, against two dominant competitors.
Yeah, she's going to lose.
And she's so going to lose.
The match at Great Balls is all going to be about setting up Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam, it seems like.
But what's your opinion on what's that going to set up for Sasha Banks? It's got to set up something.
Yeah, I would hope so. But I don't know what.
I don't know, man.
Unless they do a triple threat.
Bayley goes heel. All right.
Next, Kurt Angle's backstage. Braun Strowman comes in and does the, I need competition.
Yeah, he describes in wonderful detail what he did to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle.
He says again that he doesn't think Roman's going to show up.
He's
not there tonight. He's not going to show up at Great Balls. But if he does, he'll do the same to him at Great Balls as he did 2 weeks ago. Throw him in the back of the ambulance.
It's good stuff.
Braun's great.
Braun is great. So that sort of set up kind of a main event for the night, a Braun Strowman match with some competition.
Yes.
Some very pleasantly surprising competition. Oh, I'm in this, man.
Yeah, it's
I'm
great.
Into that stuff. All right. We'll get to that in a second.
After that, we had a Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar video package.
Yeah, I did watch this. I said I don't watch recaps, but there was some new interview footage in there.
Yeah.
Was that new stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
And then they had some archival photos of Samoa Joe throughout his career, including his Ring of Honor days.
Not including his total nonstop action
True.
Global Force Wrestling days.
Good point.
Yeah. Cedric Alexander came out, delivered a promo. I liked his promo. I think he'd be great as a heel or as an RVD face of some sort. So I'm kind of reminded of one of my favorite wrestlers right now, in-ring for sure, and his look, Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
On the mic, not my favorite. Has kind of a weak voice. I mean, it's just his voice. I mean, it shouldn't be a knock against somebody, but when you hear somebody like, shit, I don't know, Seth Rollins can cut out, any of these guys can cut a good promo. Ricochet's voice is just kind
of... It's sort of like Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Although, I think with Strong, it was part of it was his voice, and also he didn't seem comfortable and or convincing.
Yeah.
Ricochet seems convincing.
He seems convincing.
But I know what you mean.
He kind of has a weaker voice. Cedric doesn't.
Yeah.
And so I think Cedric, like, man, I think he's a fantastic wrestler, And they just need to give him they need to move on from this.
Yes.
This is so long overdone. They need to move on from this Noam Dar stuff. Anyways, he says, Noam Dar, run on back home to Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox comes out. She's returned. She's got the neck brace on still, though. I like Alicia Fox a lot.
Yeah,
I just think that this feud needs to be done with, like, yesterday.
So Fox tries to interfere on Noam Dar's behalf.
Yeah.
Instead, Cedric takes advantage, hits Dar with a lumbar check.
I mean, you know, that's
the win.
The one thing about that feud that I'm, like, okay with is the fact that Noam Dar
is selling lumbar checks.
Better than anybody.
I know.
Better than anybody.
And this was
really
relatively not a great sell for him.
Right, right,
still
right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
After this, we had...
Oh, hold on. Sorry. We got 50 patrons watching right now. Julian Morris just said, I love when Steve does Cannon Grant's imitation. Steve, listen. Bailey had a boyfriend on Breaking Ground. I don't remember seeing them kiss, but you think they had to have done it. I love Cannon. Oh, man. We got great friendos here.
We do. We really do.
All right. Then we had a Miz TV segment.
With the Miz Entourage, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel.
Bo looked awesome in his suit and bandana combo.
And one glove.
Oh, man. Who is that guy? That's fantastic.
I know.
Make him a Wyatt yesterday. Curtis Axel looked very business casual. Anyways, Miz, number one, makes a point to run down LeVar Ball. So, you know, Vince said... Go run him down out there.
Well, then also, Ambrose referred to that segment last week as a train wreck.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to appreciate that. But anyway, Dean Ambrose or Miz, I watched this.
Didn't Miz make another good point during his promo?
Did he?
Oh, probably? Yeah. He called Ambrose out for being wacky.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't paying that close attention.
He said of all the members of the Shield that Dean had the most potential.
Yeah.
But as a singles competitor... He's just wacky, essentially.
Oh, that's hilarious. Miz is like going in Raw, Mark.
I know.
Dude. What was up with you hanging out backstage with Alexa Bliss?
Oh, I know.
Bliss?
That was that when someone tweeted that at us. That blew my mind.
Very tall Larson. Because I didn't really notice that aspect of it first because it was dead on you.
Yeah.
But then you turn around and walk away and you have tall man lumber.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, Larson's like seven feet tall now. He's like 6'5".
Yeah.
Good for him. So anyways, confirmed low-level rider right there. Let's see here. So Dean Ambrose comes down and he says, I want to fight you for the IC title, and I don't want to wait for great balls. I want to do it now.
Yeah.
Heath Slater comes out, and I love Heath Slater when he gets on the mic. He said, I've never had a shot at a singles title, and I've been here for 8 years, and I want my shot at the IC title, and I want it now.
Because he pinned The Miz, I think.
He was the last person to pin Miz in that tag match.
Yeah.
And so Dean Ambrose says, you know, take a number, get in the back of the line, and then...
Then Kurt Angle came out.
Yeah, Angle comes out.
And Miz says he'll defend against Dean at Great Balls.
Yeah.
And then...
Angle sets up the match.
Yeah.
In the immediate, he says, Dean will have his Intercontinental title shot at Great Balls. However, Miz will defend it right now against Heath Slater. Crowd was this was a high point of the show.
And the match was really good.
The crowd was super behind Heath Slater.
His promo was pretty good too.
You know, man, I still have some hope. I feel like Heath Slater might be two injuries for other wrestlers away
from a mid-card push.
If, like, for example, if Apollo Crews, God forbid, gets injured, I could see Heath Slater, like, you know, with Rhino along in tow, maybe being a Titus Brand signing. I could see something like that and having some amount of success.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Probably not going to happen, but he's still in the game.
He is.
He's still there, so I like that.
And this is probably one of the better matches he's put on in a long time.
I mean, you know, once if Great Balls, and I don't know that it will be because they seem to love Miz versus Dean Ambrose. If Great Balls is the final chapter for Miz Ambrose...
It has to be, I would think. I would hope.
I would love to see Heath Slater up against Miz. There's nothing to indicate that that would be the case, mm-hmm. beyond the fact that he's sort of milling about there now. I would love to see that. I think that would be great.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And people would pop for that.
Oh, I think so, too.
Bring back the I Got Kids angle. That'd be great.
Oh, I know. He mentioned that.
He did.
Promo, yeah.
He did, yeah.
So the Miz was not in his wrestling gear.
He was in an immaculate white suit.
And so he wrestled in that suit.
Correct.
But he did have the foresight to put on his wrestling boots before going out there for his promo.
That was good, because you never know what's going to happen
exactly.
in WWE.
So anyways, during the course of this match, The Miz split his pants.
Yes. That was pretty funny.
It was funny. But anyway, it was a really good match. A lot of good back and forth. The Miztourage, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel got involved. They attacked Rhino, beat him up, and that distracted Slater.
Yeah.
And then the Miz takes the opportunity to hit Slater with the skull-crushing finale, picks
Correct.
Up the win.
Yeah.
Ambrose comes to the ring. Miztourage beats him up. Miz hits Ambrose with the skull-crushing finale.
Mm-hmm.
So Miz stood tall.
Yeah.
Ambrose getting that Intercontinental title back.
I think this is one case where the math seems wonky. I mean, I haven't looked at the heel face, the evening out of things. Although sometimes that math is wonky too. But
yeah, everything's been pretty heel heavy of late.
I really feel like Miz is kind of the Neville of the Intercontinental situation. He's too good right now. And I think that the knock on Dean for being lazy, which I think is an unfair knock.
Yeah.
I think that's real backstage.
Yeah,
it feels
be.
Real backstage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't think he's done anything to get himself out of that position. That's me completely just speculating. But I kind of feel like if you're backstage, you're really, really liking what the Miz is doing, and you can give or take what Dean Ambrose is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that as a fan.
Yeah.
So.
Next.
Moving on. Oh, this is great.
Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews backstage. It was fantastic.
It was great, man. Titus O'Neil. I love a lot about this. I love how they've transitioned Titus O'Neil. I mean, come on, man. He was the instigator for the main event. He comes up to Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews is looking at a picture of his newborn child on his phone, although that wasn't confirmed. Titus O'Neil comes in, says, you know, I got a good deal. He says Braun Strowman's looking for competition. He says, and any day of the week, I'd go out there and shut him up. But I think Apollo Crews can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
And Apollo Crews at first a little hesitant, saying, "You got a newborn, man. That's a friggin' monster." Titus O'Neil said, "Yeah, but just imagine one day sitting there with your kid, and you can tell her the story about how you took down the monster."
Yep,
it was great.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. This is organic storytelling. It was really good. So that set up our main event.
Yes.
Then we had a Goldust promo
where he debuted his latest picture, The Shattered Truth, which was just a highlight reel of him, I think, attacking R-Truth the previous
week. With kind
week.
Of like dramatic music that you might have heard from like a silent film.
Yeah.
Because like it...
Yeah, yeah, when, yeah, 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 yeah.
But he's like, changes with the scene changes.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of stupid. Comes back out from it, and then R-Truth attacks
him. Behind him,
yeah,
and then attacks him.
So I imagine we're getting them at Great Balls.
I would think
probably
so.
Probably confirmed.
I don't think it's been announced yet.
How is that not the pre-show, and how is the Cruiserweight title in the pre-show?
I don't know.
What is that all about?
I don't know.
You don't need to sell this for pay-per-view, people. Like, this is on the network, man. I don't know why they would do that.
And they could add an extra 20 minutes to the show.
I mean, at least make me believe that Tozawa's going to get the title. We put in the pre-show, that ain't going to happen.
Yep. Next, Kurt Angle backstage. Cesaro and Sheamus approach him.
You know, I hate their jackets, man.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
I hate their jackets. But I think they jumped the shark for me when Sheamus put on an Obey patch. And I'm a big fan of Shepard Fairey. I like his design aesthetic. But it was just cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait, did you roam into Tilly's and get that patch?
I know.
Oh, look at that patch, fella.
I know.
You know, Obey. You know. Do you think Sheamus knows who Shepard Fairey is?
That is a good question.
I don't know either.
He might
be savvy to the design world.
Could be.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
How great were those Andre the Giant has a posse?
I know.
Things. Those were cool.
I know.
I wish they'd bring those back.
I know. It was during this segment that it was announced that Sheamus and Cesaro will take on the Hardys in an Iron Man match. 30 minutes.
Good. Yeah, good idea. I like
Iron
that.
Iron Man match at Great Balls of Fire.
I like that. Jason the Cabbie in chat says, I love the jackets. They need to keep adding things to them. I don't like that, Jason. I don't want them to keep it. I want them to take the jacket. They're so bulky and big. Like, these are meaty men, man. These are muscular men. Don't like it. Anyways, Iron Man match, Great Balls. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
A lot of fun.
That should be a lot of fun. I feel like all these guys have good chemistry. Why not keep this going? And I don't think the Hardys are going to win that, right? I don't think so. I don't know. We'll find out on Countout this week.
Yes, we will. Next, Seth Rollins beat Curt Hawkins in about 6 seconds. However long it takes to do Rollins' finisher and get a three-pin count on the pin.
Did you see what I tweeted to what's his face? Corey Graves?
Yes.
How do you like my new name for Seth Rollins' finisher? Henny Rollins.
It's not the easiest pun.
It's not. It's terrible.
To roll off the tongue.
Henny Rollins.
Yeah.
Get it?
I do get
like
it.
Like Henry Rollins.
No, I get
but
it.
Seth Rollins. Henny Rollins.
It's a bit much, though.
Yeah.
It's a good try, but.
You think Rollins is a Black Flag fan?
Yeah, I think he adopted that last name after him.
Oh,
Rollins.
No kidding, really? Yeah, I didn't know. I wondered.
On Wikipedia, at least.
Oh, nice. Where did the Seth come from?
I don't remember.
I don't know either. Anyways, yeah, so this was not a match. This was Curt Hawkins. He ran his mouth. Seth Rollins took the mic from him and said, shut up. And then they rang the bell, and then it was a knee rainmaker.
Yeah.
Does that have a name?
I thought I heard it was called the Ripcord, but the commentary team has been referring to it as that.
They have not been referring to it as that?
I think I heard that once.
Yeah.
I don't think it has a name yet.
I don't know. Let's see here.
Of course, then after that, Seth picks up the mic, drops a promo.
Yeah.
Talking about Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And then I think Bray Wyatt showed up on the Titantron, right? Or did I imagine that?
Did
I anticipate that?
Dude, no. I was like fast forwarding. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally just gave it away.
What?
Totally fast forward through Seth Rollins' promo. Because he wasn't going to say anything. I was going to stop when the screen went black and Bray Wyatt was going to show up. And that didn't happen. So I was like, I mean, so let me guess. He talked about Bray Wyatt being a false god or something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
being just a man, and he's going to, you know, beat him at Great Balls of Fire.
That's a decent enough paraphrase.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go then. I mean, really? I don't think I even meant for that to be a shortcut. I think I started fast forwarding through the replay, which is like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And I just kept going, and I was like, I'll just get to the Bray part. And even that I really don't want to get to, but I saw like a gif of him in the desert. Somebody on Twitter made a crack. Oh, look, it's exactly Bray Wyatt. He's in the middle of nowhere. What a perfect metaphor
that's
for his
good.
Time in the
WWE. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Anyways, what do you think about this Brock Lesnar Samoa Joe interview? A little wonky.
It was at first.
Not a great go-home segment.
It wasn't, but you know,
I would have preferred Purple Face Lesnar for the go home.
Samoa Joe did his best to add some intensity to the segment.
No, he did. I feel like.
I just don't feel Lesnar kind of laughing Joe off, especially what happened the previous 2 weeks,
yeah, right.
wasn't the right response.
Yeah, I know.
Because, I mean, granted, this might just be Lesnar's limitations as an actor. It didn't feel like false confidence.
Yeah.
If that had been how it portrayed, it might have been interesting.
Yeah. I feel like Lesnar knew he was going to win. Didn't see Joe as anybody in the back thought would beat Lesnar. You know what I mean? Like
it kind of telegraphed things a little bit.
But then at the same time, like Lesnar, you know, I mean, yeah, he was WWE first. But then like in the MMA world, I feel like that would be his. I'll put it this way. I feel like Lesnar was responding as if we were in the MMA world, like a real world situation. And I felt like Samoa Joe was in a really cool Tarantino flick.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt. And those don't mesh at all.
Yeah, it was interesting just how they photographed each subject.
Yeah, even Joe, I think, was lit like he was telling
yeah, was
a
really
bedtime
dramatic,
story.
It was really dramatic lighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Lesnar's interview was pretty typical.
Jack Dolan in chat says, I don't blame you for fast-forwarding Seth's promo. Thank you, Jack. I've got one.
It wasn't anything special.
Yeah.
You know, I like Joe going through the arena trying to find Brock.
No, I like that.
That's all good stuff.
That was different. But you're like to set it up, it felt like Lesnar wasn't... It felt like Lesnar wasn't selling the match.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I didn't see like a point. Did Michael Cole say anything to kick it off?
Yeah.
He did. But then there was no intervention after that.
Not that I recall.
I don't think there was.
It was just back and forth between Joe and Brock. I thought it was an interesting choice to have Brock do all his own talking.
Oh, I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was fine
with
that.
He did a decent enough job.
Yeah. It just felt like he was barking and Brock Lesnar was laughing it off. And that's not great for, like you said, tension,
yeah.
You know? I feel like that should have been like last week, and then this week we should have got the purple face Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
the unnaturally purple face
mm-hmm.
Lesnar, which I can talk about all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So weird.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So
Joe,
like you said, Joe took off his mic. He went searching for Lesnar. The referees and the production people had to like hold him back,
or
the agents had to hold him back because he eventually found Lesnar.
And Lesnar just kind of laughed it off.
And he laughed it off
again. Which, if it was kind of false confidence, could have been interesting, but didn't seem that way.
Right. Next up, we had Neville versus Mustafa Ali.
This was great.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
This was a really good match, and then Neville, he wins with the Rings of Saturn, and afterwards he won't let go.
Right.
And this is actually a really well-directed part of the show, because they went to a close-up of Neville as he was like losing his mind, stretching Mustafa Ali with the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I really liked
anger
this.
And intensity.
I thought this thing might have been able to use... So I want a little bit more integration between the two shows. Maybe a little chunk of Drew Gulak there. I don't know. Mustafa Ali's in the middle of something with Drew Gulak.
No, I know. But then, I don't know. I like this as a quality showcase, especially for Mustafa Ali.
It's a good point. Good point.
Because this is actually, like, this whole match...
Probably would have been too much.
Fast pace.
Yeah.
Well, especially the first half where Mustafa Ali kind of had the upper hand.
Yeah.
Fast pace, a lot of high risk moves. And then once Neville got control, it was just, he just overpowered him.
He got a hell of a, he's a hell of a wrestler, that Mustafa Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good.
He's good. I love, man, I have to watch last week's 205. No, wait, did I? No, I didn't. I have to watch last week. Wait, did I?
We didn't do a recap, so probably not.
Probably not. I have to watch last week's.
Yeah, it was good.
I love Drew Gulak. He's so good. I didn't watch NXT. I need to watch that.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
We got it. No, I've been waiting to watch that. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I rewatched it.
Yeah, okay. I have not.
Okay.
I will. I got 2 hours. I got so much to watch tonight.
Yeah, we got a lot of wrestling to watch.
All right.
Next, Bray Wyatt in the desert.
No, man. In the middle of nowhere, man. I'm a god. Oh, Seth Rollins, man. I'm a god.
I don't know if he was just hot or something, but he didn't seem really into this whole thing.
No, why would he be? He's in the middle of the desert, and they have a bunch of GoPro shots.
I know.
I don't know, man.
It's over-edited, overproduced. I don't like it. Just let him talk. But it seemed like to me like the director told him, okay, you know, do the Bray Wyatt thing, but just stare in the camera and don't do anything with your hands.
Yeah.
Because he just stood there with his arms at his side, and that's not how
the general premise,
he drops promos.
The general premise is fine. If you're going to have him in the middle of the desert, make that be a point.
Yeah, because what he was saying had nothing to do with him being in the desert. He was saying that he was everywhere.
Yeah.
That everything that's happened on Raw since he arrived,
he
was somehow a part of.
You know what they should have done? He says, I'm everywhere. Lacey this morning was looking on Reddit. There is a guy who took a picture of himself every day for 10 years, and then he like did a thing, and it's all like him walking around different places. But that's what it looks
no,
like.
No, they should have done is have...
They should have emulated that.
Yeah, but have him say one sentence then cut to a different location.
Right, exactly. But like really bad green screen.
Okay.
Like the moon's behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's unfortunately wearing a little chunk of green, so then it like...
Yeah,
through that
he's flying through space. All that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm in the desert, man. I'm so thirsty, man. I forgot to bring a thing of water. What do you call those things? Canteen?
Yeah.
Where's my canteen, man? Anyways, Alexa Bliss gave an interview with Larson in the background. It was weird.
That was weird.
I was distracted by that. But I have
no idea what Alexa said because I was staring at my doppelganger.
Yeah, it was weird. Charlie was being very confrontational. She said, because she was like, what's the deal with Sasha Banks beating both of you guys tonight? And then Alexa Bliss said, that's your question? She said, that's fine. You know, I let her win to give her a false sense of security, which, A, why would you now be saying that? And then Charlie said, she said, I don't think anybody's going to believe that. And I was like, whoa, that is not your job to be like confrontational like that.
Hard hitting questions, Steve.
Ask the questions. And nobody does hard hitting questions, man. They should add Mike Rome cracks me up. Is that his name? Mike Rome?
Yeah.
He cracks me up because he always seems so timid.
Yeah.
He's like that. It's like, that was like one of the best things. Like when our buddy, I don't name his name, but our buddy who worked for a basketball team used to interview people in the locker room and we used to lose a lot. It would just be so awkward. How do you ask people like, why are you guys losing all the time? Anyways, what was they talking about? Oh, yeah. Then we had Finn Balor versus Cesaro. Oh, yeah. So earlier, Cesaro told Kurt Angle that he wanted Finn Balor.
Yeah.
It was such a long episode of Raw. And so we had Finn Balor versus Cesaro. This is a cool, I mean, you know, for being on, you know, buried in Raw, this is a pretty decent match.
Yeah, it's a decent match.
Yeah, Finn Balor and Cesaro in there together. You're going to have a cool match. Did you see Okada was there?
Yeah.
That was rad.
Yeah, that was cool. Hardy Boys were on commentary.
Not on TV, on Finn Balor's Instagram backstage.
Yeah. Hardy Boys were on commentary. decent enough match to get a
like
lot of time.
Matt really just like trying his damnedest not to be broken, but he so wants to do it.
I know.
Because like his vocabulary is a bit on the broken side. Mm-hmm. The way he talks like this, you know, just. Mm.
He so wants to do it.
Ooh, he's close, man. He's close.
The Drifter shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Try to distract Balor.
Like, yeah, man. Give me Drifter Balor any day.
The Hardys come down the ringside area.
Yep.
To even the odds.
Yeah.
Finn manages to win with a coup de grace.
Yep.
Decent match.
Yep.
I don't remember if, I'm assuming it's the case that Finn Drifter is going to happen at Great Balls, but I remember it on the card.
That should.
I mean, there's all these matches. I'm surprised. I'm shocked, honestly, that unless I just missed them.
Yeah.
No, it's not listed. Neither is Goldust R-Truth. That's weird.
That was a little weird. Jameson, Cesaro. That's going to be added. That'll be added today.
I would think so.
Let's see here. Then we had, Braun Strowman came to the ring, delivered a promo, talked crap about Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Then Titus O'Neil comes out and announces his opponent, Braun Strowman's opponent for the night is Apollo Crews. Got a good pop. This is a cool match. I mean, it was, look, Apollo did what he could. There was when the match turned, it was when Apollo Crews is going to go for his standing moonsault.
Yeah.
And Braun
just kicked him.
And kicked him, and he went
out of
flying.
The air.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Like, the level of coordination there seems insane,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it to be that smooth. Like, I think our friend O Pulse put up a GIF of that, and I literally just watched it over and over
again. Oh, me too.
It was fantastic. Anyways, Braun did the thing where he wanted to not just win, but punish Apollo Crews. So he gave him 3 power slams. Each one easily could have been a finish.
Yes.
He would pick him back up.
He'd go for the pin.
Yeah, that's
two
right.
count, yeah. Pick him back up, and then power slam again. After the match, Titus comes in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Braun power slams him too.
Right.
And then Braun picks up Apollo Crews, carries him to the ambulance, and puts him inside,
mm-hmm.
and then slaps the back of the ambulance saying, you know, tell it to drive off. It doesn't, so he goes to investigate, and he looks at the window and can't see anything, opens the door, and Roman Reigns is now an ambulance driver.
I was shocked, beyond shocked and surprised that was the case.
I know. So they fight a bit. Reigns spears Strowman off the stage.
Yeah, that was cool.
Strowman kind of moderately no-sells it. And so at the end of Raw, Strowman's getting up from a spear. And I believe Reigns is kind of thinking to himself, how is that possible?
Yeah.
That's how Raw ended. Yeah. So no one really stood tall.
Well, guess what, Reigns? You're going to go over at Great Balls, and you're going to go over at SummerSlam.
Probably,
and
probably.
Universal Champion.
And probably.
Let's talk about that really quick.
Okay.
I know we should keep it for Great Balls, but this is the Raw recap portion of Super Show today.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much on board with Roman Reigns winning the Universal title at SummerSlam. I feel... Here's my thing. Maybe... risking having Brock Lesnar beat all of your main event guys over the next, 7 months?
Yeah.
Over the next 7 months, maybe they realize all for the prospect of Roman Reigns not being over as Universal Champion. That's like worst case scenario. And you've had the monster beat all your big guys like Finn Balor, Samoa Joe. I mean, he's going to beat
Seth.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Seth. Maybe they think that's maybe not a great idea. Seth, especially. Seth should... he should be like the standard bearer for the Universal Championship.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking they're just going to pull the trigger at SummerSlam and save the other guys the hassle of getting pinned.
I would hope so. I'd hope that'd be their rationale. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, I know.
I think they're more worried about ratings.
I know. I think that's like too much my rationale and not theirs.
Yeah, I think
I
too.
Agree. Yeah.
And I would assume that if Roman does win, he's going to hold it through, or at least have it back by the time of next year's WrestleMania so he can face John Cena.
Yeah. Which I would actually like to see that match.
That'd be an interesting match to watch and see how the crowd reacts to it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'll see that. Watch that.
Me too.
All right.
And while we're talking about John Cena, let's move on to our SmackDown recap. Why don't we?
Because kicking off SmackDown, John Cena return. I thought it was a fun episode of SmackDown again.
Yeah.
SmackDown rarely has a bad episode or one that I'm bored with watching. This was cool. John Cena came out, delivered a promo, basically said...
he's not a part-timer. He's an all-timer.
Yeah, he said, that's why I can be on Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, et cetera, et cetera.
He said he's going to fight everybody, named off a long list of
all the main event guys,
culminating with Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So teasing it already,
kind of telegraphing your spot there.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. He said, like you said, he said, "I'm an all timer." And then he said, "What? God, he said something else." He said, "Oh, yeah, that's why." He said, "Yeah, my time. If my time here in the WWE is limited, I'm going to go everywhere and, you know, rattle off those names."
Yes.
Yeah. And then that brought out Rusev.
Machka.
Who originally, he got like a big pop just on his music. But then, you know, the crowd so easily fell into the anti-American rhetoric. He says, and I was like, man, Bulgaria sounds cool. On their Independence Day, they like march, apparently. And I like, you know, and they cut to that dude in the crowd wearing nothing but the American flag. I don't know, man. That's just not me. Like, I love America, but man, you know, I'd rather on Independence Day, I'd rather do something cool like March too than just sit around and eat hot dogs. I can eat hot dogs anytime. No, I know. I want to drink beer too.
Yeah.
You know, I know. I'm with that. I'm just saying, how cool as a country would we be if, like, on 4th of July, we, like, did something cool like March? I don't know where. I don't know how. But then, like, the next day we ate hot dogs. Like, took 2 days off.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
First day is, yeah, we're asserting our independence. Second day, all right, let's kick back, have some beers, and have some hot dogs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
2 days off I can get with.
So Rusev came down and did his whole shit.
Well, he said, you know, they've been advertising Cena's return for two months, as he put it. Where's my advertisements for my return?
Yeah.
And Cena said, okay, well, let's have a match right here tonight. And Rusev said, no. And eventually, later in the show, it was announced that at Battleground, we will get Rusev versus Cena again.
Yeah. Jack Dolan made another point here in chat. He says, they do have parades on the 4th. So, we did see people march yesterday.
Yeah, I thought about mentioning that, but I didn't.
But, I mean, you know, that's hokey. I don't like marching. We descend on things. I don't know what we're going to descend on. Anyways.
I don't know either, man.
Yeah, it'd be kind of weird. Anyways, so yeah, Rusev, John Cena, that was cool. Later on, it was announced that we're going to get a Rusev-John Cena.
I literally just said that.
A Rusev-John Cena flag match.
No, we're not going to get that. That's what Cena challenged him to last night in SmackDown, and Rusev said no.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan said that's going to happen, though.
Oh, I didn't notice the stipulation was added to the Battleground match.
Flag match.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is happening, but just not.
Definitely happening. Let's see here. Then Daniel Bryan was backstage with Chad Gable, who had somebody noted this on Twitter as well. They put a side-by-side image of Chad Gable and a Cheeto next to each other because he had that weird orange pattern texture shirt.
Yes.
See, look, flag match right there.
Yeah, no, I see it now.
Yeah. And then AJ Styles came in, and Daniel Bryan was like, you know, Kevin Owens has a point. He says, Kevin Owens has a point.
Oh, yeah, he's beaten both of you recently, so you have to fight for a spot in the Independence Day Battle Royal happening later
Look,
in the show.
Look, Daniel Bryan, if all you want is to see AJ Styles and Chad Gable fight, then you can do that and still put them both in the Battle Royal.
And also, if anybody that Kevin Owens has ever beat should not be in that Battle Royal, then why was Sami Zayn in it?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Kevin Owens beat Sami Zayn several times.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, that was just, like I said, probably just an excuse to get AJ Styles versus Chad Gable. Phenomenal match.
Really good match. I just wish that more of it actually happened during the broadcast.
Yeah, I know, because this I actually did see on Hulu, stupid enough. You know, they don't. That's a major problem, because I heard cool stuff happen during commercial.
Yeah.
And so I might have to go back and rewatch this match on PlayStation.
You know, I appreciate
View, because they have commercials.
I appreciate the fact that they're trying to get more of the show on TV.
It's always the wrong stuff.
Well,
it's
distracting to try to watch a match with no commentary in a small little screen.
Yeah.
While the rest of the screen is dominated by an ad, and that's the audio that's playing.
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. What do you think about, feels like they want to go all in on Chad Gable.
It does.
I love Chad Gable, man.
Yeah, he's real good. I like Jason Jordan, too.
I would love to see Jason Jordan as a jealous heel. They push Chad Gable. I mean, Jason Jordan made it into the...
The Battle Royal, yeah.
He actually was in the Battle Royal, yeah.
He was eliminated during a commercial break.
Oh. Okay.
A lot of people were.
Yeah, okay. That's a bummer. I'd love to see a program with these two. Chad Gable, he's got to be a face, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, like, Dennis the Menace face. You know, he's got like mischievous guy that you. That,
yeah,
he's like early Jericho. Kind
I could
of.
See Chris. Chris, sorry, he's mentioned Jericho. Chad Gable is a good heel though too.
Yeah, me too. I know.
He can be the guy who can just run circles around people in the ring and man, be super arrogant about
just
it.
Just flipping push him, dude. Get it? Yeah, but he'd have to be on the mic. It'd have to be a Jericho thing. He could be Jericho, yes. Man. He can be Jericho.
Yes. Anyways. So, yeah, AJ picks up the win with a phenomenal form, but as you mentioned, really good match.
Yeah.
Great showing from Chad Gable.
Correctamundo. We had Hype Bros backstage with a very pensive.
Yeah, Mojo was going into his luggage, and on top of it was a Hype Bro shirt that he picked up. And he was kind of being, upset about how things went down last week where they didn't win their match.
Yeah.
And then Zack Ryder comes in, is trying to be like, hey, it's cool, man. We're in the Battle Royal tonight.
Yeah.
So don't worry about
it. Yeah. And then Mojo said, well, you have something to worry about. Because I won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, but then he was all clowning around. He was joking with him. So it looks like we're getting, number one, it doesn't look like Zack Ryder's going to the one being heel.
Nope.
We're going to get a heel Mojo Rawley. How weird is that?
It's going to be interesting.
Hey, man, you know what, though? Anything they throw Mojo so far, he's really killed.
Yeah, I know.
So if this allows him to stand out from the pack enough that they actually feature him in some manner, as opposed to just, you know, happy face Mojo, I'm going to be into it. I like it. I thought he had a good stern face.
He did.
During the segment.
Next, Carmella, James Ellsworth come to the ring for a promo.
I love these two, man.
Yeah, they're so good.
They're the perfectly packaged heel team.
Mm-hmm.
God, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, they come down. Naomi comes down because Carmella cuts a really great promo about being Miss Money in the Bank. Naomi comes down. I love Naomi.
Yeah.
The belt looks
great now.
This was a great episode for Naomi.
Yes.
The belt, like you said, looks like $1 million with those LEDs. Oh my gosh. That was fantastic. Again, something we said a while ago should have happened. But again, evidently you're backstage, or at least a tall version of you.
Yes.
It's weird.
Alternate dimension Larson is back there.
I guess so. How did he rip through our space time?
I don't know. Maybe it's top notch.
Something to look at. Oh, goodness gracious. You looking forward to Shower Me with Gold? The pay per view, not some extracurricular activity you might be taking part in.
I like playing video games sometimes, so I guess so.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Let's see here. So Naomi comes down and she talks some trash to Carmella, and then she says.
She introduces...
I'm not the only one who has words for you.
Yes, Daniel Bryan. He comes out very upset with James Ellsworth.
Oh, this is great.
So he fines him.
Mm-hmm. $10,000.
Suspends him for 30 days without pay.
Yeah.
And then kicks him out of the arena.
And says, if you break any of the rules that I've laid out, I am stripping Carmella of her Money in the Bank briefcase, contract, whatever. And then Carmella, understanding the gravity of the situation, ushers Ellsworth the hell out of there. So this is going to be fun to see what happens 30 days from now, which who knows what that's going to be. When is Battleground?
End of this month.
Okay, so he's probably not going to be back for that.
No, he'll be back.
Okay, let me ask you this,
August
though.
August 4th.
Are we going to see perhaps like a masked Ellsworth?
Oh, for sure. Without a doubt.
All right, great. Let's see here.
This led right into a match between Naomi and Lana.
This was cool, man. I like
this. It wasn't much of a match.
No, man. She like immediately got her into a submission.
Feel the glow.
And Lana tapped out immediately.
Immediately.
Tamina comes in. Lana's basically crying, looking like she's been victimized by Naomi. Tamina comes in, sort of holds Naomi at bay, saying, you know, give her space.
Telling Lana, come with me.
Come with me. You'll come with me to Mos Eisley Space Bar. So
I'm guessing Tamina is going to teach Lana how to wrestle.
You must.
That's what I got. Did you interpret that another way?
What was Obi-Wan's line? A wretched hive of scum and
villainy. We must be cautious.
We must be cautious. Yeah, what now?
Tamina is going to teach Lana how to wrestle, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's good, man. They're using Tamina. They're using Lana. I'm down with that. Are we going to get some Rocky-esque montages?
One could hope.
You should hope. I would think so. That'd be rad.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Next, Shinsuke Nakamura is about to be interviewed by Renee. No. Was it Renee Young? Whatever. He's about to be interviewed.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin attacks him nearly immediately.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin is losing a lot of his hair.
Very quickly.
Yes. So they fight a little bit.
He had
a
goofy shirt on, too.
Yeah.
He needs to stick to, like, metal shirts.
He does.
Like, there's, like, when I was at Vans the other day, my niece picked out one of those, like, short-sleeve button-up shirts with, like, the goofy patterns on it. Look, man, I might not be too old for a Thrasher shirt, but I'm too old for that. I can't pull that off, you know?
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
So they
brawled. It's not really Baron Corbin's thing either.
No. You know? No, no. So they brawled for a little bit. No one really gained the upper hand, I don't think.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're going to have a match at Battleground.
You think it's going to be for the contract?
No, it's too early for that.
Yeah. All right.
After that, early fun segment.
This was great. This was fantastic.
We had the Usos in the New Day in a rap battle hosted by Wale.
Our friendo Wale, yes. Friend of the show.
Yes. He did a great job.
He did fantastic. He was just the perfect level of credibility, of staying out of the way, and providing some decent comedy relief.
Yes.
Like, his commentary was, it was sparse but effective.
Yes, very much so.
I thought it was good. You know, obviously the dude is very comfortable in front of large crowds.
Yes.
Being a Grammy winner, platinum artist, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Apparently, also, latest signee to Titus Worldwide.
Yes, I saw
that. That's
see that? Awesome.
That's great. So, good for Wale, man. It was great. This segment was a blast. It's a rap battle. So, the Usos came down with their own posse, I guess?
Well, both teams did.
They did. That's right.
The Usos came down.
That dude in the unicorn outfit with the New Day back there.
Yeah.
I was dying.
I know. He was great.
That guy was hilarious. Idiots. And the New Day looked like a million trillion bucks. And those, like, you know, the red, white, and blue getup.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic.
This was really fun.
Yeah. Usos totally won this, too, with that one line about Kofi.
No, Xavier Woods.
No. He said somewhere. He said Big E or Kofi. Keep this PG if you could. Just don't get rated R like your boy Xavier Woods.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
Xavier.
No,
Woods
I know. It was aimed at Xavier Woods. I was just trying to remember the actual line. Oh, that was good.
That was good.
And the crowd. And the funny thing is, at the end, when Wale DQ'd the Usos, number one, the Usos clearly won that you listen to hip hop. I listen to a little bit of hip hop. I don't know much about that, but I do know a winner and a loser when I see it. The Usos totally won.
Yeah.
They had, and Wale made this point. He says, you guys are twins. You have the same brain. It's kind of a disadvantage for the New Day. And the funny thing is at the end, when Wale DQ'd the Usos,
for attacking the New Day,
he declared the New Day the winners. Wasn't all cheers for the New Day. I think the crowd understood that the Usos won that.
Yeah.
That was good. That was so good. What a great segment.
Yeah, it was
fun. It wasn't too long. It wasn't cringy.
No.
That's kind of the danger of that, though. Like, you know, that's kind of a ballsy move. Like, you can have, like, a Bailey, this is your life, and it's crap.
Yeah, I know.
This could have easily been crap, but they came up with some really clever
they did.
Raps.
And everybody involved was into it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which helps a lot.
The new and look, dude, look at what one act in a division, kind of like the same way Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, just revitalizes.
One act.
Just revitalizes the whole division.
Revitalizes the entire thing. Look at the Usos now, man. They're legit.
I know.
They are legit.
I know.
This is good. Next up, Aiden English came out and started singing.
Randy Orton comes out and interrupts him again.
I feel like Aiden English, if he's going to come out and sing, he needs, like, a new thing to sing every week.
I know.
You know, I don't want to hear, I'm the Shakespeare of song, the Mozart of whatever.
I know, just doing the same thing.
Or whatever. Before Aiden English was, you know, done singing, Randy Orton's music hit, which I was like, bless you. And then Aiden English attacked Randy Orton.
Yes.
Before the bell was rung.
Yes.
However, none of that mattered. Oh, actually, no. Aiden English won this match because Randy Orton pulled the WGPW.
Yep. Grabbed the steel stairs, hit English with them.
Yeah. And then he dropped
DQ'd, then dropped with an RKO after the disqualification. Out comes Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
He drops a promo.
Randy Orton
interrupts him. And more or less said he's going to win.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to win, though, Randy.
No.
Let's see here. Then
Who is this?
Ty Dillinger.
Who?
Ty Dillinger.
Who's Ty Dillinger?
Was interviewed.
Who in the Rudy Poo?
Was interviewed by
Renee Young.
Tanae Young.
Oh, that's right.
It was Tyler Breeze.
And
lurking in the background was Chet Cheddarfield.
That was my favorite part.
I know, that was great.
Because he walks by him. That was great. And then at the very end, he says, oh, hey, Fandango. Hey, my bad.
Yeah.
I didn't
it was
see
pretty
you
funny.
There. My bad. So he made the point. He said, you know, Breezango are going to have a problem because at some point during the Battle Royal, they might come to blows.
Yep.
And then when he scurried off, when this Ty Dillinger fellow scurried off, they pontificated on that a little bit.
Yes.
They ambulated over the possibility. It was a great segment.
It was great.
I love Breezango.
Yes, they're fantastic. Next, we had Maria and Mike Kanellis being interviewed by Renee Young. She had an interesting reaction to Tanae Young.
She was very amused by it.
So they're going into their Power of Love thing.
Yeah.
Interrupted again by Sami Zayn, who apparently knocked over some metal stuff. Stretching.
All right. So you guys know I haven't been the biggest proponent, the biggest advocate for Sami Zayn's comedy routine. Whatever. Maybe I was just happy in the morning. Maybe I, because I watched this morning.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
This cracked me up because it was two things that really cracked me up about this. Number one, when you hear the thing clang, the camera goes over and the look on his face of,
oh, I know.
Like, that was great. And he's got his leg up because he's stretching. He comes over. He does his little spiel about appreciating their message of love.
Yes. Name drops Huey Lewis in the news.
Says, I'm sorry that, I interrupted you. This is 2 weeks in a row. I totally get that. As he's about to start talking about the news, his own music hits. And he has the most shocked surprise. He goes, oh, God.
Yeah, I know. That was funny.
And then he goes running off.
That was pretty hilarious.
I don't know. I thought it was funny. I thought it was good. I really want great things for Sami Zayn.
Likewise.
So, I don't know. I laughed at it. That led to the Independence Day Battle Royal.
Kevin Owens on commentary. There was some surprises in this match. Dolph was first eliminated by Luke Harper.
Uh-oh.
Surprising somewhat.
Yeah.
There's this great spot where Eric Rowan eliminates Fandango.
Oh, that was so cool.
And then he tries to eliminate Tyler Breeze. Yeah. Fandango catches him
and
puts him back in the ring, only for Tyler Breeze to be eliminated
yet
again.
I was really hoping that would lead to a little longer of Tyler Breeze, man. I didn't want him just to be eliminated again, but I thought that was a sweet moment. Contrast that with another tag team, the Hype Bro. Mojo eliminates Luke Harper. Ryder thinks about eliminating Mojo.
Yeah, he's standing behind Mojo, and you can see it. He's selling.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can eliminate Mojo right now. But he doesn't. He doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Together, the Hype Bro eliminate Eric Rowan, and Mojo takes the opportunity to eliminate his tag team partner.
Yeah.
Developments in that story.
And, Mojo is apologetic, but not too remorseful over it. He says, I got to do what I got to do.
Yes.
Zack Ryder not happy?
Not at all. So the final three were Sami Zayn, Ty Dillinger.
Who?
Ty Dillinger and AJ Styles.
I told you this before we went on air. If Ty Dillinger shows up over two consecutive weeks, I'm just asking for two consecutive weeks.
Then you'll stop with this?
I'll stop with that. But I'm going to go back to doing it. So mystery opponent versus... who is it? Sami Zayn and AJ Styles.
Yeah, Ty gives both of them tiebreakers. He's on the verge of eliminating both of them.
Story of Ty's career.
Yeah.
From what I understand. I don't know who that is, though.
Sami Zayn eventually turns the tables on Ty, eliminates him.
Yeah.
AJ and Sami go back and forth for a bit before AJ finally eliminates Sami Zayn. So AJ wins. He's going to face Kevin Owens at Battleground for the U.S. title.
Which will be the best match on the card.
Probably.
Absolutely.
All in all, a pretty fun episode of SmackDown Live.
Yeah, man. I mean, if I have to watch that in the morning before you come over, I'm happy.
Yeah.
All right.
Not a bad day for Steve. Let's open some mail.
Okay. Let's do that.
This one is from Ryan Mizushima.
This one is from WrestleCrate.co.uk. They have, I'm assuming it's a crate that has wrestling stuff in it.
Yes.
They reached out to us, and I said, by all means...
Ooh.
Send us something. That was my makeup. It's all right. I said, send us something, and we'll open it on air. You guys can send us something as well. P.O. Box 1814, Orange Vale, California 95662. He's very careful, as I try to be as well. about not showing the addresses.
Yeah, I didn't realize there's a separate envelope in here with an address on it, so hopefully that didn't show up. So Ryan sent us a card. There's Hawaii on the front.
Nice.
He says, "Dear Stephen Larson, this is just a little something from Hawaii that you should try. My name is Ryan Mizushima and a friendo. It's called Hurricane Popcorn. I enjoy watching your show and keep up the good work. Aloha from Hawaii and hope you enjoy. Peace out, Ryan." Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hurricane Popcorn. So it says it's mochi crunch and nori.
Nice.
Interesting. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's rad. It's probably, let me see real quick. All right, I don't see anything here about pineapple.
Oh, so you can enjoy it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Let's see if there's sugar in it.
We came upon loot here, Larson.
Ooh.
With this WrestleCrate.
Oh, man.
WrestleCrate.co.uk. First of all, we got the current face of America, a Kevin Owens.
The phenomenal face of America.
Yeah,
that's
pop.
What he just said last night.
Pop vinyl figures. These are cool, man.
Yeah. Man, there's all sorts
put
of
that there.
Shirts in there.
A large shirt for you. You can open it because it's for you. And then an extra large shirt for the fat man. Oh, look at that.
Oh, I got man.
A British strong style shirt.
Oh, that's
man.
Cool.
Look at this.
This is. Says the king of the cruiserweights.
Look at that.
It's a Neville shirt.
That is rad.
Look at this one.
Look at that. Oh, look at that. King of the cruiserweights.
That's cool.
That's rad. Very cool.
What else?
A bounty. Ooh, is this a flashlight? Looks like a keychain flashlight, Larson.
Cool.
Progress.
Oh, cool.
All sorts of great. Oh, that's interesting. It's something, it's like a thing. Free download for the best of SPW. I'm assuming that's not Supreme Pro Wrestling here in Sacramento. Ooh, look at this. Over the top. OTT Wrestling. I've heard about this.
Oh,
over
yeah.
Over the top wrestling. Look at that lineup right
Zach
there.
Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll.
Yeah, Pete Dunne. Yeah, man. All sorts of great names.
War Machine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
There you go. Ah, look at this guy. A DVD of Chris Hero.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
An Evening with Chris Hero. Oh, it's an interview thing.
Oh, cool.
He sits down with the team at Pro Wrestling Chaos and talks about his career, his first stint in NXT. If he'd ever go back, spoiler alert, he totally does.
That's cool.
What else we got here?
Two matches as well.
Oh, nice. Look at this guy. It's a... Oh, this is great.
Oh,
it's a Shockmaster button.
That's awesome.
That's right. Man, this is a bounty in here. What is this guy?
Oh, there's an autograph.
There's an autograph. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Look at British Strong Style chilling by maybe the River Thames. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I have no idea. I think the River Thames is like bigger than that. I don't know. But they're chilling under a bridge somewhere, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
What would you do if you ran into these brutes, these bruiserweights under a bridge, Larson?
I would tell them how much I appreciated their work.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you didn't know who they were? What if you're a wrestling noob and you didn't know British
Strong
Style?
If they were just standing there taking a picture, I would...
You'd respect them, like, just take their picture, but then you're trying to get from here to there. You're trying.
I would wait
from...
until they were done taking pictures, and then
what if it's like
cross.
A three-hour photo session?
Well, I would think if that were the case, they would have that pathway blocked off.
Yeah. Say, like, excuse me, gents. Would you do it in a British accent?
No.
Could you do a British accent for me real
quick? No, I don't do that very well.
Really?
No.
It's all right, man. So I would say, excuse me, gentlemen. May I get behind?
I would just say, excuse
me. And they would probably punch me in the face.
Yeah.
And they'd have... The Professional Wrestling Fans Magazine, Calling Spots. What a great name for a magazine.
That's cool.
We should have called that going in row.
Ooh, there, that was Damo, wasn't
this
it?
This is a great, look at this. It's all black and white and stuff. Looks
oh,
like
that's
old,
cool.
It's like a zine almost. Damo stuff. Man.
That's awesome. Thank you very
freaking
much.
Freaking A, dude. Thank you very much. Yeah, check that out. WrestleCrate.co.uk. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
From our good patrons over there at patreon.com/Stephen Larson. Here we go. Oh, that's not the thing. Okay. Connor Dunmore. Connor the Neville Level Dunmore says, "Hey, friendos, his heel cast is pretty generic at the moment. You made that point earlier. Mm-hmm. What type of theme music would you give him, and how would you design his merchandise?" He says, "I think they're giving him 'I'm where the money's at' as his catchphrase.
Yeah, that could be good.
So like a single dollar bill, but Cass's face. Like a Cass buck.
Yeah.
With Cass's face in it. But it's not like...
Cash?
It's, yeah. Yeah, but it's like a one instead of like a hundred or like a thousand. A $2 bill.
That should be
one
a thousand.
One of my stepkids gave me a $2 bill.
It should be a $1,000 bill because that's 1G.
One, you're on fire today. Look at you.
Adam Mayhem. Hey, friendos. With how good the rap battle was on SmackDown, what would your ultimate rap god / wrestler creation pick a rap style and abilities and mix them with the rapper's look and charisma?
Rapper style and abilities and mix them with the rapper's look and charisma? That's just a rapper.
Yeah, it should be pick a wrestler's style and abilities.
Oh, okay. And mix them with a rapper's look and charisma. I would want to see Flava Flav, but as Neville. I want to see him like doing Neville things.
Okay. That's good.
That'd be scary.
Hmm.
I want to see Snoop Dogg, but be Braun Strowman.
God, I'm just trying to think. I always think too much about these.
Yeah, I know, man. Just throw it out there, man. Nobody's judging you.
Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Wrestling like Seth Rollins.
How about a... Oh, that's a good one. How about Biz Markie?
Okay, good.
But wrestling as Lana. And he comes out with her entrance. Da-na-na, na-na, and he hits like a finisher, and like they just no-sell it every time. And Tamina comes out. Anyways, I'm going to... Jason the Cavi says, Jack the Jobber heel turn, yay or nay, and while Pachiti and Plumpy put aside their differences to fight back against Jack and the Gamer Lads. So I actually watched the final video.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Of Blompied.
Trying to get his name back.
Trying to get his name back because yeah. He's called Plumpy now.
Yeah.
And right before the match ends, and the Twitter or their dislikes are through the roof. I mean, their likes, it was about even, I think.
Yes.
But people did not like this. they were attacked mid, like right before the finish of the match. And I think it's like the seventh one.
Yeah.
So people
were invested into it.
They were investing in this, man. talk about a swerve.
Yeah, that's some healing.
They were attacked by Jack the Jobber, who now apparently is a heel.
Okay.
And it looked like they gave a concerto to Plumpy, and then it cuts back to the game screen they're at. Pachiti gets in, and he wins. So, but Pachiti had been attacked also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's just taking advantage of the situation. He's just taking advantage of the situation. As opposed to...
Exactly.
Wow.
But in the meantime, he let Plumpy get his head caved in with a chair.
Wow.
Yeah, man. People are hot about that. So, Jack the Jobber heel turn? I say nay. He's going to get hurt. As we saw it live when he tried to take on Joey Ryan.
Mm-hmm. For the DDT Pro Heavy Metal title.
No. Yeah.
Tommy T. Hey, friend. My question is, what are some wrestlers that you only like and give the benefit of the doubt because you enjoy work they have done in the past? He thought of... Yeah. Oh, he mentions Seth Rollins because his face turn has been generic and too corporate for his taste, but I guess based on his previous work, he'll still be a fan.
Right, right. That's the example he gave.
Yeah.
Somebody will give the benefit of the doubt, of course, because I've enjoyed the work. I'll always give Bray Wyatt the benefit of the doubt. You know, I always think that no matter what he does, he's done so much good that leads me to believe it, with the right program,
yeah,
they can make a lot of money with him.
I'm going to say Ty Dillinger, and don't say who. Just because, just seeing his path to... towards the top of the card in NXT wasn't a straight one.
Yeah.
You know, there were some detours and stuff, and it wasn't like it was easy for him to get popular in NXT, but he did.
Yep.
And so we've seen him forge a really strong connection with the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Even his limited appearance so far in SmackDown, he came out, he got a good popularity. Yeah. Chanting 10.
Absolutely.
If they just give him a solid opportunity to be on TV for a more consistent basis, he could go places.
Yeah, yeah.
He just
yeah.
needs that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's see here. Jamie10, if Cesaro went to New Japan, what match would you like to see most? What a great question. He says he would love to see an Okada-Cesaro match. Cesaro's one of those guys I would love to see in New Japan. I think maybe more than anybody on the WWE roster, because I feel like... So one thing that you and I and Ulysses talked about while we were in LA and Long Beach was the idea that Cody kind of still just feels like WWE Cody. He hasn't
in terms
really,
of how he wrestles.
Yeah.
Specifically, yeah.
Hey, look, he was always a great character guy in WWE. So kind of in that regards, too,
yeah.
It's kind of just
WWE
Cody.
It's a different
Cody.
Character now, so...
I really want to know, because Cesaro, in my mind, is one of the most creative wrestlers out there. What limitations does he have on himself now in the WWE that he would be then free of in New Japan?
I know.
And see him wrestle.
I would love to see him and Kenny Omega wrestle, because Kenny is a pretty creative wrestler as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Love to
yeah.
see what they could do.
I'd like to see that. He might be a bit too big. I'd like to see him take on Ticking Time Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Takahashi. That'd be great.
Match against Naito would be great, too.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. It's all good stuff. He would have a lot of fun there, I think. Let's see here.
The Nightcrawler.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I have to ask, why do you guys say we've seen Dean Stealing? I still truly believe that his is the best member of the Shield on the mic and the best... at character work. His matches just usually don't seem to ever be given enough time to tell a great story, but when he gets enough time, like his match with AJ, Kevin Owens, especially Triple H, they're always great matches. I don't know, it's just our estimation, that's our opinion.
I feel like he hasn't carried a great match.
Yeah.
He's been a part of great matches, and that's not, you know, it's not really necessarily a diss. Not everybody can carry a great match. Yeah, I just feel like I think I've seen everything I'm going to see out of him.
At least from face Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true. We haven't seen heel
Dean
Ambrose.
There could be more to the Dean Ambrose character as a heel. We don't know.
Punjabi Larson match. Instead of a heel Sasha versus Bayley feud, do you think a heel Bayley versus face Sasha could be an interesting dynamic and one worth taking a risk on? That's a massive risk that I really don't think would pay off. I think fans would not be...
At this point, though, I wouldn't be surprised if they just thought, okay, what we're doing with Bayley isn't working. Let's just try something completely different.
Boy, that'd be...
In the hopes that she can follow the trajectory of being a heel, getting really over as a heel, and blowing up as a face, essentially.
Nick Parsons, at the 2K18 event that we went to, did we get to play Supercard? And did they show off any of the Supercard stuff?
We didn't do anything Supercard, no playing of anything.
There was no playing of Supercard, and they didn't mention anything Supercard. So, and we don't really do Supercard.
No, we don't.
I really don't even know like what it is.
It's a mobile game.
You open packs?
Yeah.
Of cards?
And then you play people with those cards.
Oh.
I don't know anything about it.
And people seem to love it, though.
Yeah.
So.
Mayor of Planet Houston. Samoa Joe said he wants to take everything from Brock Lesnar, his manager Paul Heyman, his part-time schedule, most importantly, the Universal Championship. What else is Samoa Joe going to take from Brock?
Some of his land? I would think that's what Brock, like, treasures the most.
Yeah.
Is his own real estate.
Yes.
So maybe he would take, like, a guest house.
That's what I thought as well.
A little chunk of land.
Yes.
But it'd be, like, square in the center of Brock's view from his
yes.
porch.
Yes.
So it'd just be like, oh, man, this is Brock's house right there.
Joe's house.
It's Joe's house right there. But it's like sovereign land.
Discord Club underboss Jimmy Thomas. Hey, friend, with the rumors of the
I
clones.
Love, what does underboss mean? Because that's a great name.
I think it just means you have the boss
in
like the mafia, and the person right under them is like the second command. I think that's the underboss.
But Bad Luck Fale isn't actually second in command of Bullet Club.
Well, based on his title, he is.
Good point.
Hey, friendos with rumors, who is second in command? Who's number two guy in Bullet Club?
Well, at this point, it's got to be Cody.
I would think so. Right, well, now, at least he wants that to be the case.
He wants to be number one.
Oh, yeah. Jack. Let me ask you this. Maybe I should save this question for our recap we're going to do later. What are the odds we get Cody versus Kenny for that U.S. title at Wrestle Kingdom?
Zero. I think we're going to get Kenny versus Ibushi.
Potentially, but... Kenny versus Cody
at
some point.
I know,
if anybody's taking
I
that
know.
U.S. title off Kenny, it's going to be Cody. Anyway.
It seems like one of the obvious routes to go.
Hey, friendos, with the rumors of the clones asking for their release, do you think that this will stop creative from breaking up other teams? Oh, he asked about Ty, too. I don't know. I mean, they're giving Chad Gable a lot of opportunity as a solo competitor.
Yeah.
Who knows if that'll continue?
I have a sneaking suspicion it will. I think it's probably on, what do you want to call it, probationary period right now. See how he does out there. And yeah. I think he's killed it both times.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that they have to keep on
both
going
on the mic and in the ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Liam Wagner, hey guys, have you ever wanted to go to a wrestling show, but another event that day was happening at the same time? For example, Battleground is this Sunday. It's Great Balls of Fire is this Sunday. And one of his favorite bands is playing in town, too.
Go to one of your favorite bands, because you can always watch Great Balls of Fire after the fact.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he means go to the actual... I think he means go to the actual show.
Oh, go to the actual show. It depends on how often that band comes to town.
Yes.
If they're touring on a particular album that you really, really like.
Or
and
if
really
they come on a really regular basis.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, there's been... a lot of times there have been local independent wrestling shows that will happen the same day as a pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
And since... especially streaming pay-per-views, reactions to those pay-per-views is kind of in our job description now.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do that rather than go to the indie shows.
Correct. Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. CM Punk finds it insulting, asks, can we get a power ranking for the competitors in the WGPW in the Bank match, Shower Me With Gold?
Okay, well, there's one yet to be announced, correct?
Surprise entrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many other total? Seven? Six?
Six, I think.
Okay. Who has been announced so far?
Butch. Yeah. Bacon. Matthew Ade.
Yeah. Is it Heel Supreme?
No, it's Beef Supreme is still in it. Heel Supreme is the leader of the Golden Powers.
Okay, that's right. Earl's not in it. Is Hannibal Hansen in it?
No, he's got a match.
For the Meatloaf title?
Yeah. Oh, Matt E. Black.
Okay.
Shithead's fighting for the...
Is Mecha Santa in it?
No.
Is anybody from Congress under Mecha Santa in it?
I think I originally was going to have Cannibal Larry in it. But now I don't recall if I actually announced that. Did I replace him with somebody? I don't know. I'm going to say my power rankings are...
Of the four known competitors.
Of the four known competitors. I'm going to say Butchie. He's like number one. Yeah, I think Butch Bacon's number one.
No, Beef Supreme's number one.
Butch Bacon's coming off a massive win against Finest Cat.
I understand.
Yeah.
But he's done that before.
You say Beef Supreme number one?
Beef Supreme number one.
Okay, maybe Beef Supreme number one.
And then Ade, still your champion.
He's the champ.
And then Matt E. Black.
Matt E. Black. And then Butch Bacon?
Yeah.
Where does surprise... Who follows next? Unknown competitor or surprise entrant?
I mean, if
I don't. Oh, Flyboy Allen.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, he's after surprise entrant. I think he's last.
Well, I feel like surprise entrant could top those power rankings potentially.
Oh, you think surprise entrant could be number one?
I think
you don't know who a surprise entrant is. Who do you guys think surprise entrant is?
Well, that's why I say it doesn't matter if I know who the surprise entrant is or not.
Yeah.
Once I know, I could retroactively say, oh, he should have been number one.
I love that Derek Tabata knows more about WGPW than the guy who books it.
Ember Moon's weed dealer. Hey, friendos, the What Culture guys do a list of their own personal top 10 favorite matches and wrestlers. What are the chances we get to see Steve's top 10 favorite matches and wrestlers and Larson's top 10 favorite matches?
We'll put it on the list of things to do.
Yes, very good.
Good.
There's a good chance we'll see that at some point because that'd be fun to do.
Absolutely. Brian Whipple, where do you see Charlotte's role on SmackDown in light of recent events? She doesn't seem to have that same appeal as a borderline face as she did as a straight heel. The push of Carmella, while welcome as she's been doing great work, seems to be coming at Charlotte's expense in terms of airtime. I give them the benefit of the doubt. We didn't see Charlotte, and Charlotte is well established. I feel like her and Becky Lynch are just fine.
Yeah. kind of a tangent. Them together are really good.
Yeah, for sure.
They're really good together.
Yeah. One more question, then we'll do trivia.
Yes.
And then we'll...
Eat lunch.
Uh, it's kind of too early to say. We'll do two more questions, including this one.
Okay.
The creator, Melvin Adams Jr., says, what do you think Mike Kanellis' ceiling is? He says, I didn't realize how small he looks compared to Sami Zayn, which is kind of true. I think it's kind of too early to tell what his ceiling is.
Yeah, he hasn't had a match yet. I was expecting him to come out and interfere with the Battle Royal.
Yeah, I mean, they need to start doing something with him in terms of in the ring at some point. I would imagine we're going to get something.
Yeah.
Maybe him versus Zayn at Battleground.
The phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega, we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the show. Olaf Rendos, after watching both Amazing Nights of the G1 special in the USA, I found myself with a G1 hangover when I tried to watch Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I know it's a holiday week, but did anyone else have a hard time watching Raw and SmackDown this week? Yeah, I mentioned that beginning of the show a little bit, that Raw was kind of hard to watch because of that. Being there live, watching some amazing matches. What we don't really talk about enough, I think, with New Japan's shows is how well-paced they are.
Yeah.
There's no filler.
Yeah,
there's no recaps.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, granted, interviews are helpful to tell stories, but there's none of that. You're there live, and it's just match, 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 match.
Yeah.
There's no downtime, and it's great.
Yeah.
You go to Raw or SmackDown, you know, you have to sit through the commercial breaks. And SmackDown now, it's cool because at least for the live audience, they still have matches during at least two of the commercial breaks. But on Raw, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You generally, someone comes up for their intro and they just stand there for 2.5 minutes in the commercial break. And then when the house lights come back up, they realize, oh, I'm on camera again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a dull experience.
Yeah.
WWE pay-per-views aren't as bad.
Yeah.
But TV tapings can be a little tedious and boring at times.
Yeah. One last question because somebody in chat pointed out correctly, and that point out guy is gone. I forget who it was. Pointed that we missed a 5-liked question here.
Thank you for
5-heart question from Eric. Let me ask you something, Blaha, also known as the Base Hit King,
yes.
Eric Blaha, since Kevin Owens mentioned it. Do a power ranking of the top Canadian wrestlers. It could be your choice of whether it's all time, just wrestlers today. Canadian wrestlers of all time, Larson, top 5. Here we go. Wow.
Number
5 or number 1?
Start with 5.
5. Chris Benoit.
Okay.
Because you know what? In my book, he'd be number 1, but he did something horrible.
Yes.
So he gets kicked down to number 5, but his career was pretty amazing.
Yes. Number 4,
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Okay, that's good.
He should be like number 1, man. He should be number 1.
He's overrated. 4 is fine.
All right. Number 3.
3.
Lance Storm.
Yes, good.
We just put Lance Storm over Bret Hart. That's great.
Number 2, Chris Jericho.
I'd say number 2, Kenny Omega. Number 1, Chris Jericho.
Where's Edge?
Number 6.
Edge should be top 5.
Really?
Edge did a lot of neat things, man.
All right. Edge. Okay. Edge is number... Who did I say number 1 was? Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's rough. Man,
I know. Edge.
Okay.
Bret Hart out, Edge in.
Whoa! Controversy here on Going In Raw. Wow, Bret Hart, not even... Hey, the next Indie Darlings. Bret, here's my controversial opinion now. You guys can preview it. Bret Hart, not even one of the top 5 Canadian wrestlers of all time.
Maybe by the time we do the panel next year, if we do, we should come all the way back around. Controversial opinion, Bret Hart was pretty good.
Yeah, Bret Hart was awesome.
Oh, Kevin Owens isn't even on there either. Wow.
Oh, man.
There's so many great Canadian wrestlers.
Yeah. Long history. Oh, what about Owen, man?
I know.
There's Owen in there
we
instead
need
of Bret.
Top 10.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
That was difficult. That. Let's do trivia.
Trivia. Here we go. Today we're doing... classic and attitude era.
Yeah, I forgot what we did last time. All so right. I'm doing this. All right, you start with whatever one you're starting with. Just tell
me. Here we go. Oh, I'm starting with classic. All right. Who teamed with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, to face Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage in the main event of the first SummerSlam in 1988?
DiBiase and Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant.
What NFL Hall of Famer faced Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania 11?
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Against what longtime rival did Bret Hitman Hart defend the WWE Championship at Survivor Series 92?
Longtime rival?
Yes.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, he did that in 92?
Yeah.
They hadn't really been longtime rivals to that point, though. That's an odd way of phrasing it.
I guess I mean historically speaking. Who won a record-tying fifth WWE championship by defeating The Undertaker at SummerSlam 97?
Stone Cold.
Bret Hitman Hart, 97.
Oh, man. All right. What superstar stole Undertaker's urn at WrestleMania 11 and melted it down to turn into a gold necklace?
Oh, this is going to bother me.
I'll be impressed if you get this. WrestleMania 11. Turn it into a gold necklace.
This is going to bug me. I don't know.
Throw a name out there, man.
Lex Luger.
Comma.
Oh.
Yeah. You can't be mad about that.
What former bodyguard made a name for himself in 94 Royal Rumble match by eliminating seven consecutive superstars?
I mean, Diesel?
Yep.
Okay. What makeup-clad rap duo accompanied the Oddities to the ring?
Insane Clown Posse.
Very good.
The first ever Elimination Chamber match was held at what 2002 pay-per-view event?
Judgment Day?
Survivor Series.
Oh, okay. Who defeated John Cena for the United States Championship in his WWE debut match on SmackDown in October of
2004? Shelton Benjamin.
Good guess.
Carlito.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What diva accompanied Chris Jericho to the ring for his defense of the Undisputed Championship at WrestleMania 18? What diva?
Trish Stratus.
Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Bummer. Who served as Brock Lesnar's agent when Lesnar debuted in March of 2002?
Paul Heyman.
Very good.
You have one more. What diva was part of Steven Richards' Right to Censor group and was WWE Women's Champion during her membership?
Victoria.
Ivory.
Ivory!
I get two.
What did Victoria look like? Wait, who's Victoria? Am I tripping? Am I just putting one on the other? Hold on.
Oh, nice. Come on, Raven.
Oh, good job. Let me see it. Oh, that's a good looking
one. Oh, another good one. Devon.
Wait, which one's... Oh. Bummer. Yeah, I can see how I get them mixed up.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us
today. I liked Ivory.
Yeah, she was good. She was in Glow.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Patrons, stick around. We're going to hang out with you guys for a little bit before we go get lunch. We'll get your advice on what to get for lunch.
Yes.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.